This morning, our lesson is going to be entitled, He or When He Comes. Now, when you think about that, when He comes, you know, with a title like that, you might naturally think that the lesson will be on the return of Christ. And that's what we eagerly await for. As God's children, we just are waiting and waiting for His coming. But Jesus made a promise. He promised us that He would, all those who obey Him, that one day we would be with Him in heaven. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in Me. For in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And we live on that promise. Because He not only said He would prepare a place for us, but He also said He would return again and receive us unto Himself. So that where He is, we also may be. That promise is that we're waiting for Jesus. Just imagine what that day will be like. What it'll be like when all the peoples of the world, every soul that has ever existed from day one of creation until the day that He returns will be present. What a glorious day that will be when Jesus raises everybody up. Some raised up to judgment. But His church, His children, will be raised up to everlasting life. It's a day we long for. It's a day we yearn for. It's a day when we'll be raised up to see the Father who is in heaven, His home, eternity. We will be with the joys of heaven where there's no more sorrows and pains and confusion, no injustice. All the old things are going to be made new. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. And we are here today hoping that everyone in this audience will be with us on that great day, and we can't wait. But as awesome and as true as that is, and exciting, that's not what the lesson is today. Today's lesson is not about the Lord's return, but rather about more about the mind of Christ as He has revealed three works of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told His disciples that He must leave this world. He must die, go to the Father, and afterward that Holy Spirit, that Comforter, that guide would come. And today we want to look at just three things that Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would do when He comes. When He comes. In our reading today, we see that because of what Jesus told His disciples, that is, that He was going to the Father, sorrow filled their hearts. And Jesus tells them that if it is to their advantage that He goes away. And we know what that meant. We know that Him going away, it meant that it was going to be a death upon the cross. And we can understand why their hearts were so filled with sorrow. Can you imagine someone that you love dearly, your mother, your father, your grandmother or your grandfather would come to you and they would say to you, I love you, but I have to go away and I have to die a cruel death so that somebody that you don't know right now can come and guide you. I have to die. And this, by the way, this one that comes, they will guide you, but you won't know them personally like you know me. And they will help you to help others in the world, other people that you don't know personally like you know me. And you're going to help these people who they don't even like you. In fact, you're helping people who most likely will hate you. And they're going to want to kill you, unlike me. What would you feel? How would you react? What would you say? That's what took place with those disciples that day. We want to read on then and discover these three things together. When He comes. Those three things that were listed, you know, He will convict the world of, number one, of sin. He will convict the world of righteousness and of judgment. So the first of these three is that when He comes, He will convict the world of sin. Of sin because they do not believe in me, Jesus said. What did that mean, they do not believe in me? In John chapter 6 and verse 35 and verse 36, Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And yet, these are the same people that saw Jesus doing miracles. These are the same people he's talking to whom they saw him and they ate of the bread. And yet these same people, he says, but I say to you that you have seen me and you do not believe. It's confusing to say the least. Because they saw the miracles and ate of the bread and they still didn't believe. And it's no wonder today in the world that we live in why so many people refuse to trust the words of Jesus. How many people today teach another way? How many people today can't accept what Jesus clearly said about faith and repentance, about baptism and our salvation? Listen to Paul as he spoke to the church in Thessalonica. He said, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, lying, wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish. Why did they perish? Because they did not receive a love of the truth that they might be saved. He who comes, he will convict the world of sin because they don't believe the truth. Because Jesus said, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive the word. But there are some who have no root. They hear the word, but they can't receive it. And they fall away. He comes to convict the world of sin. Turn to John chapter 3 and beginning in verse 16, you know, I think that we all know this verse. And most people today, they can quote the verse, at least paraphrase it. Chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. But on the other side, we're looking at verses 16 through 20. And I would say that an extreme few, if not nearly no one, would be able to quote verses 18 through 20. Why is that? They wouldn't even be able to paraphrase it. Why do you suppose that is? Can it be that they only want to believe certain parts of Scripture? Look at verse 18. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, and his deeds may be clearly seen, that they may have been done in God. You see what's happening? So many people just pick and choose what scriptures they want to believe. But that's not believing in Him. And the one who comes, that Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of sin because they don't believe in Him. In John chapter 3 and verse 36, Jesus said, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life." But you listen to the rest of the statement. "He who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God will abide in him." We need to believe God. Let's not allow ourselves to be confused. When Jesus said, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life," He's not saying just believe that Jesus existed. He's not saying just believe that I walked upon the earth and brought the good news of salvation. He's not simply saying that I died on a cross, was buried, and 3 days later arose from the grave. He is saying everything I did, you believe. Everything I said, you believe. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4 and 4. Turn to John chapter 5 and verse 24. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, we read that we must hear and believe. Moses surely said to ye, "He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment." That's what the Holy Spirit is coming to convict the world of. Not believing. They didn't believe John the Baptist. You look at John chapter 5 while you're there in verses 30 through 40. And we think about this fourfold witness that is referred to often. They didn't believe John the Baptist. So few people believed him, the majority didn't believe him. The majority was afraid of him. They didn't believe the works that Jesus did. The miracles, the signs, the wonders, the feeding of the 5,000, the raising of the dead, and the healing of the blind and the lame and the sick. They didn't believe the works. They didn't believe the Father who testified of His Son. And they didn't believe the Scriptures. The totality of the Scriptures, both the Old and the New Testament, that speak of Jesus, and still people would rather continue in their sins, refusing to believe. And that's what one of the works that the Holy Spirit came to do, to convict them of sin, because they do not believe. Can you see now? Can you see that? Again, think about this. Writing of Paul in 2 Thessalonians, the reason they're going to perish is because they did not receive the love of the truth. They did not receive the words of Jesus, the words of the apostles, the words of the Holy Spirit. They refused it. And that's why they could not be saved. The next thing is that He will convict the world of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, Isaiah wrote, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." There are good people in this world, yes. Do they sin? Of course. There are honest people in this world, yes. Do they sin? Of course. There are good and honest people who are very sincere in everything that they do. But do they sin? Yes. We are all like an unclean thing, unrighteous. We're like the leaves that we saw just weeks ago that were beautiful and green and glorious, and then they turned yellow and red, and they began to fall off the trees and be blown around by the wind. Those are those who cannot believe. Those are those who will perish. And those are those who will be convicted of righteousness. They can't see, so they can't believe. They can't touch, so they don't believe. They don't hear Him, so they refuse Him. And they refuse what is written. They refuse all the testimonies. And when they do that, they go out and seek their own righteousness to establish their own righteousness. Romans 10 and 3. But Christ is our righteousness. And that's what we must be convicted of. And in Him alone and by Him alone, we stand according to His atoning sacrifice. That's the only way we can be righteous. Because God's righteousness came apart from the law. It was revealed to all those who have sinned, falling short of the glory of God. As Paul writes, even the righteousness of God came through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. We need to be convicted of righteousness, of all the things that are right according to God, according to God's Word. Jesus, He went to the Father according to all that was written. He was set forth as the propitiation through by His blood, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness. Romans chapter 3, verses 22 and 25, through 25. You see, we aren't righteous. He is righteous. And by His blood, we can be made righteous through obedience to the faith. And the Holy Spirit came to convict the world of righteousness. And listen, Jesus had to go to the Father. You know that was a righteous act. He came into this world full of sin, and He had to leave this world through death upon that cross. That was righteousness in action. And we also, as Jesus had to go to the Father, we need to go to the Father. We all need to turn to the Father through Jesus in prayer. We all need to have our supplications known to the Father. We all need to raise up holy hands and glorify the Father through the Son. But we need to go to God so that in the end we will be with God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 14 through 21, you know, Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And now that Jesus is in heaven, we also must be baptized in order that in Him we no longer live to ourselves, as Paul put it, but we live for Christ, crucified with Christ. We're no longer living for self, but for Christ by faith. That is right. For the love of God compels us, or the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And He died so that those who live should live no longer to themselves. That is what righteousness is all about. We live for Him who died for us and rose again from the grave. From that point of our baptism, we live for Jesus. We're no longer anyone living according to the flesh. We're a new creation. Old things have passed away. They're all gone. We're reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. He gave us the Spirit of reconciliation. And now because Jesus is with the Father, we are now ambassadors for Christ, Paul said. And God is pleading with the unrighteous, that they would be reconciled to Him. And that's what the conviction of righteousness is all about. Jesus went to the Father. We need to go to the Father. And the Holy Spirit came to convict both saint and sinner of righteousness. The saint of righteousness to everlasting life, and the sinner to the error of his ways. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of righteousness by the Word of God, which the writers of the New Testament received by the Holy Spirit. It was God breathed by the Holy Spirit. It was the holy men of God who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit guided them into all truth. And they spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. Paul said, "Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God." This world will tell you many things that are not from God. They will tell you that homosexuality is not sin. They will tell you that marriage, divorce, and remarriage without cause is not sin. They will tell you that your choice of where you want to worship and who you want to worship with is not sin if it is not with God. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And Paul affirms this. We must be like those in Thessalonica when Paul said to them that when they received the words from them, they received it not as the word of men, but as the word of God. And that's being convicted of righteousness. You know, legally a man can go to a court and he can testify for himself. But when we allow the Bible to testify of itself, when we allow the Bible to speak for itself, it shows us the inspiration is from God. It is not from man. Its true origin is God. And that's how the Holy Spirit convicts the world of righteousness. Or to say it another way, they convict the world of what is right in the eyes of God. But for this to happen, Jesus' work upon the earth had to be completed. And it was. He died upon that cross. He ascended to the Father on high so that that Holy Spirit, that guide, could come and inspire those men to write for us so that we would know and be convicted of righteousness and so that we could come to the Father. Our last point. He will convict the world of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. We want to understand that the judgment is the damnation that those who believe and obey Christ will escape. Did you catch that? The judgment is the damnation that those who believe and obey Jesus will escape, undoubtedly. You know, Jesus will say to them, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." These are people who understand. People who are convicted of judgment because the ruler of this world, this age, has been judged. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." When we obey the gospel, when we're baptized into Christ according to the words of Jesus, we are baptized into His death. We are put into His body, which is the church. There is no other body. There is no other church. You can be baptized 1,000 times in 1,000 different ways by 1,000 different preachers, and you will never be in the body of Christ until you accept the baptism of Christ. Otherwise, you will be convicted of judgment. You remember, the inheritance was from the foundation of the world. And we see that come into play as the ruler of this world. Secondly, brings judgment and damnation to those who do not believe and obey Christ. They will not escape that judgment. He who does not believe, Jesus will say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. It is clear that there exist two kingdoms in this world which stand in complete contradiction to one another. The power of the ruler of this world is quenched by the resurrection, the ascension of Christ to the Father, which opened the doors of the kingdom. It opened the doors to the kingdom, to heaven, to all who believe. Jesus, the King of righteousness, now sits on His throne in heaven in complete victory. And all who have obeyed and believed are redeemed. They're free from sin, free from the servants of sin, free from the devil, and free to be servants of righteousness. And it's clear. The ruler of this world has been and remains judged. We all know who the ruler of the world is. The Pharisees called him Beelzebub in Mark 3:22. Jesus said he's the ruler of the world that will be cast out, John 12:31. Back in Genesis 3:1, he was called the serpent. His fall was prophesied in Genesis 3:15. Jesus will bruise his head. That is, that Jesus will come and Jesus will crush him. One kingdom, ruler crushed, the devil. One kingdom, victorious ruler, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the real question today is, are you convicted of righteousness? Are you convicted of sin? Are you convicted of judgment? Which one are you currently in? According to Jesus, which one are you currently in? Has the Holy Spirit convicted you of judgment and the judgment to come? Is it possible for you to say, "Thanks be to God who gives me victory through Jesus Christ"? Are you one who is born of God? Were you baptized into Christ, or were you baptized into some other church, some other body? Have you overcome the world? Do you possess the victory because of your faith? You know, when He comes, and now we're talking about Jesus. Remember, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of judgment. The ruler of this world is judged. So the question we ask today, will you stand in judgment? Where will you stand in the judgment that's surely to come? Will you stand with Jesus and His people in His kingdom? Or are you going to be with the devil and his? Turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation with me, please. In Revelation chapter 20, in verses 11 through 15. It's often referred to as the great white throne of judgment. John says, "And then I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat on it, from those from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead and the small and great standing before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. The death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Your name is written into the book of life when you obey the gospel of Christ. Not the gospel of Dave, not the gospel of man, but the gospel of Christ. If you've not obeyed the gospel today, we encourage you to come forward this very moment. Because today is the day of your salvation. If you have a need to obey the gospel, today is the day. Don't let anything confuse you. Don't let anything hinder you from obeying. Just come forward. And if you need anything of the church, prayers in any way, shape, or form, that's why we're here. And we invite you to come forward this day as we stand and sing the song of invitation, song number 818.